It's time.
We are not called to be nice.
Sandy Rios, welcome, Sandy. Thanks for being here.
We are often called to be confrontational.
And here with me in D.C. is Fox News contributor Sandy Rios.
And you still like me, or you don't like me, James?
Are you okay? You're all right.
I'm a musician. I can't help it.
Longtime Fox News contributor Sandy Rios, thanks very much for being with us.
We have, I think it's 4-1 youth in America wants gay marriage.
Our kids are the product of public schools. No wonder they poll the way they do.
It's time to stand up or we're going to lose everything we have.
Director of Governmental Affairs for the American Family Association.
Step up, speak up, say something, do something.
This isn't a game. This is real life.
Sandy Rios is with the American Family Association.
A pro-life radio talk show host.
Some things are worth fighting for.
And good Wednesday morning, everyone. Brett Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. And I tell you what, another busy day. And the story that continues to dominate the news this morning has to do with these kids from Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky. There are new developments that have come up overnight, and we're going to be reporting on all of these. You may have heard that yesterday that school in Kentucky was forced to cancel classes because of continuing death threats against these kids. And if you're not familiar, if you've been away from the radio and television and newspapers, et cetera, over the last 3 or 4 days, this is a group of kids from this school in Kentucky. They were at the March for Life in Washington, D.C. last Friday. The march was over. They were gathered in one particular place for the bus to pick them up for the start of their journey back home. But they were confronted first by a group calling themselves Black Hebrews, saying all kinds of nasty things about these kids. Some of these kids were wearing MAGA hats, Make America Great hats, red hats, you've seen them before. And I think that had a whole lot to do with it, but I'll say more about that just a little bit later. And then there was a video that saw a Native Indian American man walking up and talking to one of these kids. In particular, the kid that was at the center of all this initially, Nick Salmon, one of the students at the school. The kids were painted as racist, troublemakers, you name it. Even some in the evangelical community speaking out against them, putting stuff on their Twitter feed based on secular media reports. But then somebody put out a longer video of all of this, and by golly, it was a totally different story. Now, do you think this story is over because the truth is out and the media is willing to say we were wrong? Some of them are. I'm going to play you a clip in just a second here of an NBC News report from last night. All right, so this is after it has been learned that the initial story, not quite true. In fact, facts were missing almost entirely. But despite all of that, I want you to have a listen to this story this morning. Now, it's an NBC News story from NBC Nightly News last night. In this story, you're going to hear the voice of Nick Salmon, the young man. You've seen pictures of him. He's standing there, and he's being confronted with this. Nathan Phillips is the Native American man beating the drum in front of the face of young Nick Salmon. He is in this piece from NBC News. He's willing to give an interview to NBC's Savannah Guthrie. She's going to be the female voice that you hear. It starts off with the male voice of the reporter. In particular, given the fact now that this is some 48 hours at least after the initial incident, when a lot of people have discovered that the first report was false, painting these kids as racist and terrible, I still want you to listen to the tone of the question asked to young Nick Salmon by Savannah Guthrie. All right, here's the report last night from NBC News. Cut three.
Nick Sandman, a Kentucky student at the center of that viral video, says he wasn't disrespectful when he appeared to confront Native American veteran Nathan Phillips. He sat down exclusively with today's Savannah Guthrie.
Do you feel that you owe anybody an apology? Do you see your own fault in any way?
As far as standing there, I had every right to do so. My position is that I was not disrespectful to Mr. Phillips. I respect him. I'd like to talk to him. I mean, in hindsight, I wish we could have walked away and avoided the whole thing.
The Covington Catholic High School students, some wearing Make America Great Again hats, were in D.C. last week for the March for Life.
I was afraid. I felt threatened. Because when we were there and we were in front of them, they surrounded us.
But after more videos emerged, defenders of the students say there was a rush to judgment.
Do you think the students did anything wrong?
Nope.
A student whose parents didn't want his face shown told NBC affiliate WLWT his classmates were using their school chants, approved by chaperones, to drown out insults from another group of protesters, men identified as Black Hebrew Israelites. But the chants continued when Phillips entered the picture, saying he was trying to intervene.
There was three Native American people there. One of them was jumping up and down, so our guys start jumping up and down, clapping, we're dancing with him.
School chants should be in school. And this wasn't school.
Today, Native Americans protested in Covington, and even President Trump weighed in, calling the students symbols of fake news and how evil it can be. But Phillips says the students should accept responsibility for their actions.
The students should go through some kind of sensitivity training, cultural education of some kind.
Police here are on high alert after receiving threats against the students. The diocese had initially said they could face expulsion. Now it says a third-party investigation will begin this week.
So there you have it. That was the NBC News Nightly News report last night. Did you hear the question from NBC's Savannah Guthrie? Do you think you should apologize? Do you accept any responsibility for what happened? What do they have to apologize for? They were standing there waiting for a bus to pick them up. That was it. Then they were confronted. Now you heard the voice of Nathan Phillips, the American Indian man. You hear him say, they surrounded me? Despite the fact that in this NBC report, as I recollect, showed pictures of him, Nathan Phillips, approaching them. Why didn't Savannah Guthrie challenge him? Wait a minute. The video doesn't show those kids surrounding you. You walked up to them, beating your drum in Nick Salmon's face. Tucker Carlson, NBC or Fox News host Tucker Carlson, did a review of this last night. He called this whole event, he says, it's a symbolic event. It's hard to remember a moment more galvanizing in Washington. There's a bigger story here, folks, than simply an incident at the March for Life. I think what Tucker Carlson was saying, this is an example of the ideological warfare going on in this country, and even as some people have said, the spiritual warfare that's going on in this country. Governor of Kentucky, Governor Bevin, he was on Tucker Carlson last night talking about the bigotry in the media. Cut four.
There's been an incredible amount of bigotry shown by the media. The people who took this and ran with this, who did not verify anything, the people who made assumptions about these kids because of their color, because of their gender, because of their faith, because of where they lived, because of the hat that they were wearing. People didn't bother to do the basic checking of facts. I find it offensive that people have insulted these students as they did.
Yeah, that was Governor Bevin of Kentucky on Tucker Carlson last night. Now, he mentioned something interesting. I want to go back to that. I do believe what precipitated wasn't so much the kids just standing there and the fact that they had taken part in the March for Life. Some of them were wearing the MAGA hats. And I honestly believe that's what this is all about. Anybody who is seen as a supporter of Donald Trump because of the hatred that's out there against this president is seen as the enemy. These kids were doing nothing wrong. I was thinking about this morning. Let's pretend for a moment we wind back the clock several years. And let's pretend there was a pro-abortion rally in Washington. And there were a group of kids wearing caps. And this, I'm talking about when Barack Obama was president. Group of kids wearing hats saying they're going to change the country. Remember that was the mantra, Barack Obama? We're going to change the country, change the world. Group of kids wearing hats. And let's say there were some protesters across the street from where these kids were. How do you think the media would have reported this incident? I think I can tell you, based on my 40 years dealing with the media, the kids would have been the heroes, the absolute heroes. Those confronting the kids, racist, that would have been the story. But as I say, here we are this morning. Kids are going back to school today after threats yesterday. But also the development this morning is that the families of these kids have hired a lawyer. His name is Robert Barnes. He was on Fox and Friends this morning, talking pretty tough. They are getting set to launch lawsuits, in particular against media outlets, because there are still some media people who are not withdrawing their false accusations. Cut number one, Rob.
Joining us right now is Robert Barnes. Robert, I understand people emotionally taking sides, but where does the legality of this come in?
Well, because these are all private citizens, and in many cases, minors and kids, the law is that it's saying anything false about them is libel, and you don't have a defense of actual malice. It's all you have to prove is negligence. So a lot of these journalists have been saying false statements about these kids, false statements about the kids that are at the Lincoln Memorial, false statements about kids that were in various photographs related to the school, slurring and libeling the entire school and all the alumni for the school. And all you have to prove is that they were negligent in doing so. And by this standpoint, by this point in time, it is clear that anyone who continues to lie and libel about these kids has done so illegally and can be sued for it.
And so the lawyer, Robert Barnes, who you just heard there, is giving these media outlets 48 hours. He's giving them 48 hours to respond and retract the false allegations made against these kids. Now, of course, this story was on just about every media outlet yesterday. Very interesting comment from Joy Behar, who is a co-host on ABC's The View. Here's what she said. Said the Covington Catholic incident at the Lincoln Memorial this weekend occurred because, now listen, this is a quote from Joy Behar, no friend or fan of Donald Trump. Quote, here's what she said. We're desperate to get Trump out of office. You will not find me agreeing with Joy Behar very often. But the context, I'm not sure what she was saying there. Maybe she was celebrating that fact. But she's exactly right. There is a large element in this country. They are desperate to get Trump out of office. And that is why these kids are under fire and under attack. Not because they did anything wrong. But because, and I go back to this, they were standing there, they were identified because of some of them wearing these MAGA hats as the enemy. All right, you're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning, Fred Jackson sitting in. Much more ahead on this Wednesday morning. Don't go away.
Here's Walker Wildman for Redeem Clean Laundry Products.
Not only do you get a great product and you get to obviously clean your clothes, get the stains out and use the multi-surface cleaner to clean your countertops and use the dryer sheets, you're doing all of this and the money's going to support the work of American Family Association.
Redeem Clean Laundry products were developed by AFA supporters Len Ingram and Jim Duncan to assist in funding the mission of the American Family Association. Redeem Clean products work as well as or better than other products on the market. They're environmentally safe, biodegradable, and they're made right here in the United States.
The great thing about Redeem Clean is not only is the product great, but it goes to support a great cause, and that is the work of American Family Association.
For clean laundry and a cleaner society, it's Redeem Clean. Visit redeemclean.afastore.net.
Our concern about 13 Reasons Why has not diminished. If you've signed the AFA petition to Netflix CEO Reed Hastings, then you've probably heard the story of Anna Bright, who killed herself after binge-watching the show. But did you know she wasn't the first, nor the last? Other young people have been influenced by this program and have taken their own lives. Netflix says they want to stimulate conversations about taboo topics like teen suicide, but they still refuse to have a conversation with the American Family Association about the dangers of their show. Please pray that God will change Mr. Hastings' mind so that he pulls 13 Reasons Why before another life is lost. Look for the AFA Action Alerts with information you can email and share on social media so that others can sign the petition too by visiting afa.net. Every vulnerable teen is another reason why.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Liberty University is preparing students to enter a competitive job market. They have a low student-to-professor ratio, a caring Christian faculty, and more than 550 programs of study, ranging from undergraduate certificates to doctoral degrees. As the largest Christian university in the world, Liberty continues to establish itself as both a leading liberal arts university and an institution dedicated to the Christian faith. Learn more at liberty.edu. That's liberty.edu.
Lady Gaga, who once wore a dress made entirely of meat to an awards ceremony, said she is a better Christian than Vice President Mike Pence. Miss Gaga told a crowd at her show in Las Vegas, the vice president is the worst representative of Christianity in the world.
And to Mike Pence, who thinks it's acceptable that his wife work at a school that bans LGBTQ, you are wrong. You say we should not discriminate against Christianity. You are the worst representation of what it means to be a Christian.
So the second lady, Karen Pence, is teaching art at a Christian school. The school requires staffers to follow the Bible's teachings on marriage and sexuality. Miss Gaga made a name for herself preaching about tolerance and acceptance, except apparently when it comes to Christians. It's just too bad Lady Gaga doesn't practice what she preaches. I'm Todd Starnes.
Don't forget to connect with Sandy Rios in the Morning on Facebook or email Sandy at sandy@afr.net. That's sandy@afr.net. Sandy Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to this Wednesday edition of Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy this morning. And tomorrow morning, she should be back in the chair on Friday. We're taking care of the shop with the major story that's still out there this morning involving these kids at Covington Catholic High School in Kentucky. Even though some in the media and others who were initially critical and painted these kids as racist and terrible kids have drawn back from that when the truth came out, when a longer video showed they were not guilty of the things that they were being charged with. The school had to cancel classes yesterday because of, threats against the kids, the teachers there. School is reopening this morning with a strong police presence. A couple of the kids that go to that school, Sam Schrouder was actually at the rally too. He was interviewed this morning on Fox, and also Grant Hillman. I don't believe he was at the rally, but he's a student there. He was reporting this morning that he has been doxxed. That's one of those new phrases out there if you're not familiar with it. Basically, is some people take to Twitter, Facebook, and reveal all your private information, your where you live, and all of that sort of thing, basically aimed at harassing you. But he says the threats that he has faced on his personal life have been absolutely incredible. We were talking earlier about, really, I believe this is an incident that shows the true picture of the ideological warfare going on in this country, but also, I believe, the spiritual warfare that has become even more open, I think, than the years that I'm familiar with in this country. I want to talk to Dr. Richard Land. He's the president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary. He's joining us by phone this morning, I assume from Charlotte. Dr. Land, welcome.
Yes, sir. I'm here in Charlotte.
I hope things are quiet there, quieter than they are in Covington, Kentucky today. I want to get your take on all of this, sir. The initial reports, everybody piling on, even some people in the evangelical community, painting these kids as terrible kids. And then the truth comes out through a longer video, but that doesn't seem to have withdrawn the condemnation of these kids. And the question is, for doing what? Your thoughts on all of this?
Well, this is a sign that what we are looking at is a secular inquisition. These secularists are out on an inquisition against people of genuine and sincere religious faith, and their main targets are evangelicals and serious Catholics. And they are willing to do anything they can to harass, to intimidate, to punish anyone who departs from the party line, that anyone who says that there are biblical standards and biblical norms when it comes to sexuality, who want to educate their children in that way, who want to express their faith. We had a prominent actress issue a statement saying that that these young people were in Washington on a campaign for prejudice and hatred by marching for life. Hmm. And the fact that they were wearing Make America Great Again hats evidently made it certainly completely okay for people to harass them, to challenge their First Amendment right to freedom of speech, their First Amendment right to freedom of assembly. And they're going to continue this. This just part and parcel of the attack on Karen Pence. They want to ostracize them. They want to penalize them. They want to harass them. And we as Christians need to understand this. And we, people of faith, need to understand that we have a target on us, and we need to first of all band together in solidarity, and then we need to just not put up with it. We need to call it out for what it is. But without the name-calling and the attacking that the other side is doing. You know, Dr. King showed us that we should understand that our enemy is not those people who are attacking us. Our enemy is the Prince of Darkness, who has these people blinded. And as Dr. King once said, those you would change, you must first love. And so we can't go down to their level. But we also have an obligation and a responsibility to exercise and defend the rights that we have under the Constitution, and to just not allow these people to cow us, to intimidate us, or to silence us.
What do you think that amongst those who were so critical of these kids, there were some even what I would call conservative evangelicals that joined in the attack? I mean, is there a problem? You know, we talk about the secular media, the secular world, but is there a degree of a problem inside the evangelical community even?
Well, I think that, first of all, many of them just blindly followed the original narrative, which was pure and utter propaganda. It was the Soviet Union would be proud of these propagandists for the way in which they twisted the truth and tried to create an incident. I'm more shocked by the gullibility of these evangelicals than anything else. I mean, why do you just blindly believe anything you see on the electronic media? They have become the propaganda wing of the progressive movement.
Hmm. Talking with Dr. Richard Land, president of the Southern Evangelical Seminary, and a very familiar voice here on American Family Radio. Wanted to get back to the main topic we wanted to talk to you about today before this all broke out, and that is the pro-life movement in this country. The mainstream media, once again, would try to minimize. I heard one report on the about the March for Life in the secular media, and they said there were more than 1,000 people there. I mean, if that is a bold-faced lie. I mean, you just look at a picture, no matter where you stand on the abortion issue, you look at a picture, at least try to be honest about the numbers. But I think that's a reflection, Dr. Land, of just where we are, as we talked about, is just the hatred that's out there.
Well, you know, I would say, well, yes, that's accurate that there were more than 1,000 people there. Yeah, there were more than 100,000 people there. That is a deliberate deception. And it is as nonsensical as saying that, you know, Elvis Presley could sing. I mean, yeah. I mean, but it shows you the willful, intentional bias of the secular media in this country. And one of the reasons why AFR is so important. I think AFR is more important now than it's ever been, because people have got to have a source where they can find the truth.
Absolutely. You know, the good news, I think, coming once again this year for the March for Life, Dr. Land, is the number of young people.
Oh, yes.
They may outweigh us older folks now when it comes to that march.
There's no question about that, and the liberals know it. I mean, I've read reports of liberals who say how depressed they are and how young all these people are. And, of course, you know, there is about a 41% fertility gap between people who are conservatives and people who are liberals. People who are conservative tend to have their babies and raise them to be pro-life. People who are pro-choice tend to not have their babies. I mean, think about the liberals you know. How many kids do they have?
Mm.
Not very many. Mm-hmm. It's one reason why the liberals are so supportive of open borders and unlimited immigration. You know, when your voting base is made up of Planned Parenthood and gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender folks, you got to get new voters from somewhere.
Well, and what do you attribute the success? Is churches speaking out more about this, or is it just the reality of, you know, we have more sophisticated pictures of babies in the womb and the ultrasounds that are being offered out there? Is a kind of a combination that's developing that, resulting one poll, I think, that you quoted was 57% of millennials now say that abortion is a sin.
Yeah. No, I think we're winning the battle for hearts and minds, but that should encourage us. But we should also be sobered by the fact that there was just a report yesterday that the leading cause of death in the world last year was abortion. Mm. 41.9 million abortions. About 850,000 to 900,000 of them being in America, and so we need not be weary in well doing. We need to continue to speak out for the unborn. But the fact that over 90% now of Americans would disagree with the reason that over 90% of abortions take place, which are post conception means of birth control.
Mm-hmm.
And would ban most abortions except to save the life of the mother after 20 weeks. That's an enormous step. Those are enormous steps in the right direction. But we must continue to speak out because God is not going to leave unjudged countries that allow this slaughter of the innocent, this child sacrifice.
Exactly. You know, it's kind of interesting, and we pose this question a lot. Why is it with this growing evidence, as we've been talking about here, of this new generation coming up, more and more of them accepting the fact that abortion is sin, it's wrong. Why is it that we still have a problem in Washington, D.C., whether it's Republicans in control or Democrats, of defunding Planned Parenthood?
Well, because they are a powerful lobby, and you need 60 votes in the Senate to stop it. That's the filibuster rule makes that very clear. And so unless you want to change the filibuster rule when it comes to legislation, you got to have 60 votes in the Senate. And unfortunately, the Democratic Party is now in the thralls of the pro-abortion movement. The last two elections, they have run on the most radically pro-abortion platform that has ever been run upon by any political party in the United States, saying that a woman's right to terminate her pregnancy up until the baby is fully born should not be interfered with. Mm. Now, that's about as radical as it gets. And so, you know, people say to me, well, you know, you shouldn't get involved in partisan politics. Well, I'm speaking out for the cause of unborn children. If the Democratic Party chooses to be rabidly pro-choice and to pick a candidate for president in 2016 who said that abortion was a sacrament, that it was sacrosanct, mm-hmm. then I haven't made abortion a partisan issue. The Democrats have.
Absolutely. Dr. Richard Land, president of Southern Evangelical Seminary, good friend of American Family Radio. As always, thank you, sir. We appreciate your thoughts.
Well, God bless you, and I thank God every day for AFR and for all of the fact that you're getting the truth out to the American people.
Dr. Land, you have yourself a blessed day, sir.
You too, brother.
All right, you take care. Bye-bye. Dr. Richard Land, and words of wisdom from him always. Hey, listen, we want to have you into our program right now and get your thoughts. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. We're going to have to take a break in just a few minutes. That'll give you time to dial in. But this is, and again, Tucker Carlson calling this a moment more galvanizing in Washington than anything, a symbolic event. And I think it is true. What is this event doing for you? What has it done to you? Has it turned on a light in your mind of the spiritual warfare, the ideological warfare that's going on in this country right now? And what can conservative Christians do about it? You know, Dr. Land says, you know, we're here at American Family Radio. We are here getting the truth out to the best of our ability. But what is the responsibility of the church? What is the responsibility of Christians in all of this? To speak out about the truth. I want to we just have a minute before we have to take the break here. Rob, I want to play cut number four again. This is the governor of Kentucky, Governor Bevin, who was on Fox last night with Tucker Carlson. And I think he summed it up where we are with all of this. And just want to play his comments once again. Cut four.
There's been an incredible amount of bigotry shown by the media. The people who took this and ran with this, who did not verify anything, the people who made assumptions about these kids because of their color, because of their gender, because of their faith, because of where they lived, because of the hat that they were wearing. People didn't bother to do the basic checking of facts. I find it offensive that people have insulted these students as they did.
All right, that was Governor Bevin of Kentucky. And just to remind you once again, classes are resuming today, but as far as the reports that I've heard this morning, police are going to be on hand because the threats are continuing against the lives of these kids and their students. This American Indian, his name is Nathan Phillips, who was at the center of the videos. He is still calling for these kids to be expelled. Despite the fact the facts are out there, these kids did nothing wrong. But he's out there, and he's one of the media darlings right now. All right, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Want your reflections, your views on all of this. Maybe you have a different point of view that's been expressed here on our program this morning. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. You're listening to Sandy Rios in the Morning. Fred sitting in for Sandy today. We're back. right after the break.
For he himself is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. CNN analyst Areva Martin accused Sirius XM Radio and Fox Nation host David Webb of benefiting from white privilege. She assumed David Webb reached the place where he was in life because of the inherent privileges of less melanated skin. But there is a little problem here. David Webb is blessed with a permanent tan. Areva Martin's public blooper gives us all a great opportunity for introspection and to rid ourselves of any sinful skin color-based partiality and rejoice in the biblical truth that all mankind is made of one blood, one human race.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Brian Fisher here with today's Life and Liberty Minute. The Bible says in Genesis 1:27, God created just two genders, male and female. They are not interchangeable. They are different in every single cell of their bodies. As I describe in the Boy to Man book, men were designed with greater strength in order to protect the weak, including women and children. The differences in gender make it foolish and dangerous to put women in combat. Male teams greatly outperform female teams in shooting, surmounting obstacles, and evacuating the wounded. Female Marines are injured at a rate 6 times higher than their male counterparts. This, of course, damages military readiness and effectiveness. Plus, putting hormonally charged young men and women together in close quarters creates sexual liaisons, breakups, and rivalries which damage unit cohesion. Once again, the Word of God is the solution, not the problem.
Catch Brian Fisher on Focal Point, weekday afternoons at 105 Central on American Family Radio.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE, 833-44-BIBLE.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute. What's up with Mitch McConnell? For weeks, he has supported President Trump in his effort to secure the southern border. At least, that's been the practical effect of his refusal to bring up legislation that would have ended the partial government shutdown unless Mr. Trump was prepared to sign it. Then, on Saturday, the president announced what he would sign, a compromise that would provide $5.9 billion for steel bollard barriers in key unfenced areas in exchange for an amnesty for certain illegal aliens currently here. But the bill that Senator McConnell has just introduced explicitly prohibits the modified wall Mr. Trump now seeks. If adopted by both houses of Congress, the president would be handed a disastrous political defeat, and more importantly, the border would be left substantially unsecured. Repeat after me and Vice President Pence: no wall, no deal. This is Frank Gaffney.
Sandy Rios in the morning on American Family Radio.
And welcome back to Sandy Rios in the morning. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Still the big story is the kids from Covington Catholic High School there in Covington, Kentucky. They're going back to class today, forced to cancel classes yesterday because of death threats being made against them, despite the fact that through late Sunday and yesterday, the truth came out that these kids did nothing wrong. But the mainstream media, many in the mainstream media, have still not corrected their story fully. Early on in the program, we played a clip of an NBC News story on last night with the reporter in that story, Savannah Guthrie, asking Nick Sandman, he's the young kid that you've seen in all of these videos, whether he thinks he should apologize. For what? For what? It's also the media treatment of these kids, their families, is now the subject of a threatened lawsuit. This morning, they've hired a lawyer. His name is Robert Barnes. He was on Fox and Friends this morning, and he named a number of media outlets that still have not corrected their initial false stories. And he told Fox and Friends they've got 48 hours to do so, or they're facing a lawsuit. Cut number two, Rob.
I understand you want to go ahead and lay out your plan for all the people who have put out tweets and said things that are simply not accurate. What is the plan?
Exactly. Everybody is now on 48 hours notice. So by Friday, everybody needs to retract and correct any false statements they have issued about these kids. That includes any major member of the media, that includes any major celebrity, that includes anybody with a substantial social media platform. If you've said anything false about these kids, they are willing to extend you a 48-hour time period, a period of grace consistent with their Christian faith, for you to, through confessions, get redemption and retract and correct and apologize. If you do not, the next week, you may be a defendant in a lawsuit, because those lawsuits will start to occur next week.
All right, there you have it. That's the lawyer that's been hired by the families of some of these kids who we said are facing death threats. One of the kids from the school being interviewed this morning also said he's been doxxed, which is there are people out there that are putting his personal information out on Facebook and Twitter. It's shameful. What's going on?
I really think these kids, especially the young man, that the Native American
Nick Salmon.
I think he showed a remarkable amount of restraint.
He did.
That man was in his space.
Yes.
And when you invade somebody's space, that's almost assault. You know, if he had touched him, that could have been assault either way. Mm-hmm. And I think Nick Salmon showed for a young man. Yeah. Showed a lot of restraint.
You're exactly right, Rob. All right, let's go to our phones, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Texas first, and we say good morning to Dee. Hi, Dee, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I was listening to the conversation from Sandy yesterday and today. Politics aside, first of all, I am a Trump supporter, 100% Christian, but politics aside, are you kidding me? These young men showed such grave disrespect to their elder, but yet, because the Republicans and Democrats are enthralled in such a political fight, we're willing to back disrespect by our young people towards an elder. The young man standing there with the smirk on his face, I don't know what you're saying, restraint, and also I'm a police officer, there was no way assault on behalf of the Indian gentleman. In addition, did you miss the sideline of this young man's friends laughing and having their phones out, making fun of this gentleman, this American Indian?
All right, Dee. With respect, Dee, let me fill you in, because I think your information is based on the initial video. First of all, it was the Native Indian man who confronted them. That's what the full video shows. What was he supposed to do? He was standing there, and he didn't say anything. This Native Indian man was attacking him. This Native Indian man says he was showing what was he supposed to do in all of this?
You know what? Let me tell you what. I raised a daughter, and if she had a smirk on her face, as like that young man did, and her friends were behind her, she would be in a whole lot more trouble than somebody calling up to a radio station or a news media. How are you going to defend the smirk on this young man's face? And also, too, I might say, these adults that are now saying these children are being threatened, why would you send your child in with a Trump hat? Although they have every right to wear it, yes, but I would never send my daughter up there knowing the controversy she would meet with adults. But yet now that they have, oh my goodness, the adults, oh, what a horrible thing. You know what? Let me tell you, go back and read the Bible, okay? Because where in the Bible does it say that the young people are allowed to sit there and smirk and jaunt and make fun of this gentleman, this elder?
Well, Dee, I'm sorry. Your impression of the situation is not based on the facts of the full video that was shown there. I mean, as you're seeing, folks, there's still folks out there who believe that these kids were in the wrong in all of this. Once again, let's remind folks of the facts. These kids were part of the March for Life. They were simply standing there waiting for the bus to pick them up, and then they were confronted. Now, this Native Indian gentleman, Nathan Phillips, he is still out there saying that he was surrounded. He was confronted. No, the video clearly shows that he walked up to them and got in the face of this young man. So I don't know what you have to do when you have the video showing all of this that supports these kids, and yet you still have folks that are refusing to believe that. All right. Ted in Arkansas, welcome to the program. Go ahead, sir.
Good morning. Thank you. I just thought that this cultural moment gives us a great opportunity to reflect on the rush to judgment and the eagerness that some people have to condemn and to display this, you know, destructive hatred of their fellow man. And I'm reminded of the story in John chapter 8 where you had a group of men who came and said, look, this woman was taken in adultery. The law of Moses clearly says that we should stone her. But Jesus, what do you say? And I think what's really great about that story is that he does not answer right away. He's deliberative. He takes a minute. Says they're asking him, what should we do? Because they want to catch him in this situation where he gives them advice contrary to the law of Moses. Because then they know they got him. Or if he says, go ahead and stone her, then they've got him because it's against the Roman law. Rather than answer them, he takes a moment. He sits down and he writes in the dust. He's deliberative. And then they continue to press him and say, what should we do? He stands up and says, all right, let the first of you who is without sin cast that first stone. Mm-hmm. And one by one, they began to exit the room until the woman was left without any accusers. And then, you know, he asks, are any of your accusers left? And no, they weren't. She goes, I also do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. I think that is important also because it acknowledges that, you know what, she was culpable. She was guilty. And yet, even though she was a sinner like we all are, there was grace shown there too. Because if we have this rush to judgment and are eager to cast stones at every sinner, then sooner or later, it's going to be us. That should cause us to reflect and come from a moment of, well, when we're confronted with something that makes us angry and we really want to throw that rock, to reflect on if we were there, would we want to be pilloried? Would we want to have rocks thrown at us? Have we done something worthy in the past of censure? Because now today, the digital stockade that we can put a kid in is much worse than when you pilloried somebody in the days of the Puritans, because that was local. Mm-hmm. Maybe some people knew and they would remember and they would laugh about the time that person was in the stockade. But nowadays, it goes global. And it can last indefinitely. And so there's much more consequence when we throw that digital rock.
Absolutely. Ted, thank you for your comments. 888-589-8840 is the number to call. Your thoughts on what's going on with these kids from Covington Catholic High School, who have been initially chastised and criticized as being racist. And then the longer video comes out and tells a whole different story, but still, you're having people saying they were in the wrong. And I wonder if truth, when I hear these accounts still today, 3-4 days after the incident, whether truth really matters for people anymore. A little while ago, I was quoting Joe Behar, ABC's The View co-host, who admitted on her program yesterday that this incident involving the kids was because, quote, we're desperate to get Trump out of office. Even Whoopi Goldberg, now these aren't conservatives by any stretch of the imagination, saying many people admitted they made snap judgments before these other facts came. You have liberals now even admitting what it was really about is a hatred of Donald Trump because some of these kids were in these caps. You heard it from one caller here this morning. They shouldn't have been wearing the caps. They're the fault. That's the fault of it all. All right, Shelly in Texas. Good morning, Shelly. Go ahead.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing just fine.
Good, good. I'm hoping God gives me the right words, because it's really important that people open their eyes to the principles that are at work here. And I heard earlier that somebody said it was the Prince of Darkness, and that's more than true. And people actually aren't wanting to see what is going on, but it is more than true that these pedophiles and these people that are sacrificing our children and stealing children, and it's a wide, rampant thing that people are not even open to, but it's through the circles in Hollywood and the government and the people that are, you know, out there doing these horrific things that their narratives are being pushed by these people who have these financial gains and these people that are being paid to slander the good and take, you know, the innocent. So people need to start opening their eyes to these things, because it is true and it is there, and it is going to be pushed by the Joy Bears and the Whoopi Goldbergs and the people that get paid for these criminals that are out there. I mean, people really need to open their eyes. And that lady earlier, I would give anything for my son to act so bold and so honorable. That Indian had no right to chant in his face. That Indian had no right to talk to that child, even though he had a, you know, Make America Great. And, you know, Donald Trump is under fire, and he's going to come down as the best president in the United States because of the fact that he's battling the evil. He's standing up for the good of our people.
All right, Shelley. Appreciate your comments. Time for one more call, I believe. Let's go to Louisiana. Good morning, Daniel. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Fred Jackson. Thank you for having me on the show. Yes, sir. I just want to support those boys who are standing up for life, and thank you for having me. I support President Pence and his wife, and just keep doing what you do. God bless you, and thank you for...
All right, Daniel, we appreciate your call and your encouragement. You know, this is really a battle for truth, folks. That's what we're seeing here today. There is a narrative out there, and I go back to what I said earlier in the program. I really do believe the attack against these kids was precipitated by a hatred for Donald Trump. That's what it comes down to. And these kids were simply used as a vehicle by the left to get at President Trump. As I say, Joy Behar, we're desperate to get Trump out of the office. She credits that attitude for the despicable behavior against these kids. So pray for these kids today. Pray for that school. As I say, they're going back to class today, but they're going to have police on the grounds to protect them from people. There were protests there yesterday. I expect there'll be more there today. So pray for these kids. Pray for truth to come out too. We appreciate your support here at American Family Radio. What we're trying to do each day is just get the truth out there, folks. That is our agenda. Been great to be with you. Fred Jackson sitting in for Sandy today. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow as stories develop, and we'll try to bring you the latest news and also hear from you. Have yourself a great day. Stay tuned to American Family Radio for more great programming on this Wednesday. Bye for now.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.